The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think that we need to rethink it and criminalize
to the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Yes, we love the herb. Welcome, everybody, tokers and tokettes and lovers of progressive values and liberty alike. Glad to have you here. It is Wednesday, September 19th, 2012, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. We got lots of stuff to get to. Also joining us in the studio today, we got Wiz Khalifa, who's been out there on the campaign trail. How you doing, Wiz Khalifa?
Aloha. Doing quite well, man. Glad to be here. Thank you for allowing me to use Roller J Studios as a temporary workspace.
Yeah, there we go. I had to find the right camera. There you are. You exist. We saw you eating Taco Bell earlier.
Of course. You know, that is, that's what keeps me existing.
That's right. He is a Taco Bell-fueled political machine, ladies and gentlemen. All right. On today's show, all sorts of interesting stuff to get to. We're going to start off with our 420 headline news. Great headlines in the news today that include Lady Gaga smoking pot on stage in Holland. That's an interesting story that's kind of building on the airwaves today. Los Angeles medical marijuana dispensary bans headed to the ballot. A kid is caught in Montana distributing medibles on the school bus. And we're going to take a deeper look at King 5 news polls on I-502. And then after that, we'll get behind the headlines. And behind the headlines segment today, we are going to talk a little bit more about King 5 news and their recent coverage of the No on I-502 campaign and how they fell hook, line, and sinker for a PR stunt. We'll get to that in behind the headlines. Then at 20 after, we've got our daily Toker Tunes. Today is Irie Wednesday, and we always give you a little cool reggae on Irie Wednesday. This song is entitled Mary Jane. It's probably the 19th or 20th song I've got called Mary Jane, but this is Mary Jane, all one word with no space, so I guess that's it. That's different. But Jay Varsity brings us the Pod Safe music for Irie Wednesday today. Then at half past, we're going to talk with Dr. Mitch Earlywine in our Cannabis Q&A segment. We do that every Wednesday here live on the Russ Belville Show, so you can call in at 971-533-7111 or get into our chat room at ustream.tv, and you can get your live questions asked on cannabis science, culture, history, and health from one of America's leading researchers. And then at the end of the show, a little time for a radical rant. I'm going to tell you who medical marijuana's worst enemies are, and you might be surprised who the culprits could be. Stick around. It's the Russ Belville Show. We are the independent voice of the marijuana nation, surviving on your donations, your sponsorship, and your advertising. If you'd like to get involved and help produce independent marijuana media by, for, and about the cannabis community, you can send me an email, russ@radicalrust.com, or visit radicalrust.com and hit donate today.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
We're not looking to end beer summits at the White House or change the way people behave on the campaign trail. We just believe adults, in the privacy of their homes, should be allowed to use marijuana instead of alcohol if that's what they prefer. 40 years ago, our government launched an irrational war on marijuana for reasons unrelated to the actual and limited harms of the substance. It's time for a more sensible approach. It's time to regulate marijuana. Paid for by the campaign to regulate marijuana.
Most of us pirates, we go on vacation to North Dakota, you know, because they've got a town called Argusville. Arr, arr, arr. What are you smoking there, boy? Yarr, the Army Pirates here. Arr, 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 arr.
Now it's time for your 420 headline news. Carrie Gallagher is on vacation. I'm Russ Belville. Lady Gaga smokes pot on stage, saying, "It changed my life." Lady Gaga has been no shrinking violet when it comes to her personal use of marijuana, but the mother monster took it to a new level on Monday when she openly smoked a blunt on stage in Holland. Los Angeles' medical marijuana dispensary ban is headed to the ballot. Activists have submitted enough signatures to qualify a referendum on the ballot to overturn a Los Angeles City Council ban on medical marijuana dispensaries. The ban, instituted on September 6th, follows years of the City Council failing to implement reasonable regulations that would serve the city and the patients. During the 15 years of medical marijuana, the council has banned dispensaries, allowed dispensaries by lottery, and generally complained that there were, quote, more dispensaries than Starbucks, end quote. This time, the council points to the federal illegality of marijuana to support their ban, despite multiple state and federal rulings proving that it is not the job of local city councils to enforce federal law. Alan Hopper, director of criminal justice and drug policy for the American Civil Liberties Union of California, tells the Christian Science Monitor, quote, "Many local officials don't want to come right out and say, we don't like this, so instead they point to legal impediments which may or may not really be there," end quote. Morgan Fox, a spokesman for the Marijuana Policy Project, said, quote, "Local governments need to recognize that they can make sure patients are safe, bring jobs and tax revenue to their communities, and take business away from criminals by regulating the medical marijuana industry nationally, instead of burying their heads in the sand. The people of Los Angeles want medical marijuana patients to have safe access to their medicine, and they don't want to see the medical marijuana market return to the hands of criminal gangs," end quote. According to police, medical marijuana providers supplied their daughter with pot-laced candy to distribute to school kids. In Ravalli County, Montana, four adults have been charged with felonies after the daughter of one was caught distributing marijuana-infused candy to fellow minors on the school bus, according to a report from the Ravalli Republic. According to the affidavit, on May 23rd, the Hamilton Police Department detained a minor after it was reported she had distributed marijuana-infused candy on a school bus. When the minor was interviewed, she stated that her stepfather was a medical marijuana provider. She further stated that he produced medical marijuana and marijuana-infused products in a shop located at their family residence. She said that the candy was actually produced by her mother and that the candy was left in the kitchen for her to take. After further investigation, the police discovered that while her parents were lawful medical marijuana providers, he was in possession of twice the legal amount of marijuana-infused products as allowed by law. Furthermore, the other two adults were found to have significant involvement in the marijuana operation, despite not being legal medical marijuana providers. Montanans will be voting on IR-124, a referendum on the new repeal light medical marijuana restrictions that were implemented in the wake of allegations of abuse and criminality in the medical marijuana program. And finally, new polls from King 5 News show I-502 with a 58% lead. Following up on poll numbers in Washington State from Survey USA that reported 57% support for the measure, we now bring you news of King 5 in Seattle and their latest poll on the marijuana legalization initiative known as I-502. According to the poll, also conducted by Survey USA, 58% of respondents were in support of legalization. The other 42% are split equally between opposition and undecided at 21% each. The most recent poll conducted by the statewide Elway Corporation puts support for I-502 legalization at just 50%, with 38% opposed and 12% undecided. That represents a four-point increase in support and a six-point drop in opposition since Elway's previous poll back in July. This is your 420 headline news from the Russ Belville Show at RadicalRuss.com. I'm Russ Belville. Thanks for listening. And when we come back, behind the news, we're going to take another look at King 5 News in Seattle and their recent story on I-502. Stick around.
Personally, but it's time for a conversation about legalizing marijuana. It's a multi-million-dollar industry in Washington State, and we get no benefit. What if we regulate it? Have background checks for retailers, stiff penalties for selling to minors. We could tax it to fund schools and healthcare, free up police to go after violent crime instead. And we would control the money, not the gangs. Let's talk about a new approach, legalizing and regulating marijuana.
I have to say that there was one question that was voted on that ranked fairly high, and that was whether legalizing marijuana would improve the economy and job creation. I don't know what this says about the online audience, but the answer is no. I don't think that is a good strategy to grow our economy. So.
About nearly 1 million lives wrecked by a marijuana arrest every year, Mr. President. Politely tell President Obama what you think about legalization by calling the White House at 202-456-1111.
Welcome back. This is the Russ Belville Show. It's time for us to go behind the headlines and give you a look at how the media are portraying the issues of marijuana and marijuana legalization. We head north, just north of us here in Portland, to Seattle, Washington, for their local affiliate, King 5 News. And a report that they aired last night featuring a young medical marijuana patient named Darianne Clary. This was engineered by the No on 502 campaign. Here's the video.
Dangerous stoners behind the wheel or patients safely using legal drugs prescribed by their doctors?
That's a question raised by Initiative 502, which would allow the state to license and regulate marijuana growers, packagers, and retailers. There's opposition from within the medical marijuana industry. King 5's Alan Schaffler has the story. New at 6:30.
Darianne Clary from Tacoma is 17 and, like many teenagers, spends a lot of time behind the wheel.
I drive back and forth to my GED classes. I drive up here to Seattle. I drive everywhere.
One little problem, though, at least as 502 is written, Darianne right now is almost certainly legally stoned.
I apologize. We had a crash in the flash player here. So let me see if I can get this restarted for us and continue the video here just where it left off.
Good evening. Are they dangerous stoners behind the wheel? Or
as I drive up here to Seattle, drive everywhere.
One little problem, though, at least as 502 is written, Darianne right now is almost certainly legally stoned under the influence.
She suffers from MS and about 5 hours ago took medication.
I ate a sucker, which is made with 200 milligrams of hash oil, so it's pretty potent. And I'm not going to lie, it doesn't taste very good, but it takes my pain away.
She regularly uses the hash oil suckers, hash oil drops, and also smokes pot.
And it feels like a torch, like somebody's holding a torch to my muscles, and my muscles are like twisting.
All legal with her medical marijuana certificate. But a provision in 502 says any driver under 21 with any detectable THC, pot's active ingredient, in their system is driving under the influence, a crime. Steve Sarich, who runs what he calls an access point for medical marijuana and is the spokesperson for the No on 502 campaign, says the THC can linger in the system long after effects have eased, leaving Darianne and others in a tough spot.
Yeah.
They have a choice. She can either stop medicating or she can stop driving.
The concern about impaired driving was something that came up again and again.
No on 502 campaign director Allison Holcomb says the driving under the influence provision is there for a reason.
Oops.
And will actually help medical marijuana users by clarifying the law.
For people 21 and over, it's 5 nanograms per milliliter. If you're under 21, it's zero tolerance.
So I'll probably eat another sucker here in about 2 hours or so.
Leaving Darianne with that choice to make about her medicine and her criminal record. In Seattle, I'm Alan Schaffler, King 5 News.
The two sides disagree about the complex science behind the DUID level for drivers and how long different types of THC stay in the system.
All right, so let me just address this because there's nothing wrong with the truthfulness of this reporting. The THC in the blood is a funny thing. You could monitor identical twins smoking exact same amount, same potency, same frequency, and one might test below 5 after 4 hours and the other might still be at 10. The No on I-502 people are correct that body chemistry is an imperfect predictor of impairment or in some cases frequent use. And indeed, someone like Darianne slurping down hash suckers in the morning and driving a few hours after is probably going to leave her with detectable THC in the blood in violation of the zero tolerance standard. The problem with this story is glossing over what it takes to be tested for drugs. It reminds me of the South Park underpants gnomes. Step one, drive a car. Step two, step three, get a DUID. The part missing, the part that King 5 News fails to point out, perhaps to sink legalization, the part that is the most salient point in the debate is that you must demonstrate impairment in order to be tested for drugs. As you were watching Darianne driving in that video, which part of her driving do you think a cop would have pulled her over for? She stays in her lane, she obeys speed limits, she follows traffic from a safe distance, she uses her blinkers, so how is it she's gonna get pulled over? Now, let's presume she does get pulled over, but let's not presume that it's a busted taillight, expired tags, or any equipment failure, because those aren't indicators of impairment. Unless the cop finds Darianne to be glossy-eyed, slurring her words, or otherwise demonstrating impairment in the car, those infractions are not evidence of impairment. So let's say she's pulled over for speeding, or improper lane change, or failure to signal, or something that might give the cop a hunch she's impaired. The next step would be for the cop to determine whether or not she's impaired. For that, he would perform a field sobriety test. Walk the line, touch your nose, follow the light. She would have to fail that field sobriety test, and the cop would have to suspect the impairment isn't alcohol-related, and then he'd have to arrest her and take her to the hospital for a blood test. Now, another possibility is that Darianne gets in a wreck, and whether it's her fault or someone else's, and she's unconscious and her blood is drawn under Washington State's implied consent law. Those are not likely outcomes. In the state of Washington, 12.8% of the population aged 12 and older used marijuana in 2009. That's almost 875,000 pot smokers. An estimated 100,000 of them are medical marijuana patients. There are about 1,200 drugged driving arrests every year in Washington state. That's all drugs. But to be fair to No on I-502, they're not impossible outcomes. Darianne, if she wrecked or demonstrated impairment, or a cop says she did, after I-502 passes, would be subject to a zero-tolerance DUID charge. But that risk exists now. If Darianne gets in a wreck and her blood test comes back at 1 nanogram per milliliter, she will be charged with DUID. If Darianne's pulled over and fails a sobriety test and the 1 nanogram evidence makes it to court, she will be charged with DUID. And her chances of beating the charge, whether better now than they would be under 502, are still not very good. During testimony on 5 nanograms in Colorado, it was argued the standard was unnecessary because prosecutors already get a 90% conviction rate for DUID. Darianne is risking a DUID now, and she's driving fine right now. Steve Sarich is trying to defeat legalization by loaning a teenage patient his car to drive some reporter around while demonstrating no impairment is actually, ironically, the Achilles heel of the I-502 means you can't drive message. You show patients driving around town without being harassed by cops, it kind of kills the fear that patients driving around town are going to be harassed by cops. And showing patients driving around town admitting they've recently medicated shores up the support for I-502 and per se among the people who didn't realize patients were driving like that already. I got so wrapped up in ranting, I missed 420. It's 421 on the East Coast. 21 after the hour. We really got to take a break. We're late. We're late for a very important smoke. Be right back.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Dear Mom, when I was in college, I used to drink a lot. It was kind of crazy. But now that I'm older, I prefer to use marijuana. It's less harmful to my body, I don't get hungover, and honestly, I feel safer around marijuana users. I hope this makes sense, but if not, let's talk. I love you.
You want to legalize it? Call your congressman today. 202-224-3121. It's free, it's easy, and you don't even have to give your name, just your zip code, and they'll hook you up to your congressman. Call 202-224-3121 and tell Congress you support marijuana legalization.
Liberate your mind, liberate your mind.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Irie Wednesday, featuring reggae, ska, and other world music genres. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
Welcome back, everybody. It's time to get Irie here on our Irie Wednesday. And once again, we go out to the IOTA PromoNet, the source for pod-safe music. And we got this new tune out from Jay Varsity. I don't know a thing about Jay Varsity, but the song's called Mary Jane. It features Dad C and No Fear. And I figure a song like Mary Jane on Irie Wednesday is going to work perfectly. So we'll get right to that. But before we do, I would like to remind listeners out there that positions are open here for our music editors. You may notice that I've been doing all this music editing lately. If you'd like to get involved and get some music edits taken care of, then all you got to do is email me, russ@radicalrust.com. And I'll teach you how to find all the PodSafe music and how to get it posted on the blog. And that can be your little contribution to the independent marijuana media. So if you want to help out, russ@radicalrust.com, especially if you have a great knowledge of reggae and Irie music. So here we go. Let's get it on. This is Jay Varsity with Mary Jane.
This is the Lovers Rock. Baby girl.
Love you.
You're done already, huh? This one's for you.
Epic Elite Production.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
other than me, Z Riders got sour D in my Bluntville. Yeah. Haters mad cause they weed average, they talk nice, but I'm blunt still. Ooh. Mary J. Lee, Dr. Blige, I'm hypnotized by your greenish eyes. Huh? Mama fed you them fees, huh? Bet you look good with some lean, huh? Endo, Hydro, they go wherever I go. Blue dream by the pound though. Flip green racks and stack Lambos. Me and Mary got a baby coming, she's my girl. David Ruffin, bagged her up, thought I was bluffing. I started puffing, now I'm on the sun like, hey Mary, baby, I was thinking, we should get married. You know, someplace nice like Jamaica.
Oh my God,
let me tell you something. Listen.
Addicted to her love, can't never give her up. She's like a blessing from above. She's a diamond in the rough, can't treat her like no shrub. Fit in a any circle from a king to a thug. From in the barroom to the dance hall, rub a duck. She make me feel so good when it's time to make it love. She's that sweet high grade in me palm that me a rub. Feel her rub real nice, fire burn, smoke rise. Send me ice pan blaze, they might talk things, send me a cry. They might beg me for a pass, but me can't give them a bribe. Cause she never let me down, no matter day or night. She's always there for me, no matter day or night. Mary Jane.
I met her, we was chillin' in Jamaica. She came with no seat, she always make me feel much better. Always by my side, she comforts me through stormy weather. Nobody makes me feel the way you do, cause you were my girl.
That's Jay Varsity with Dad C and No Fear. Mary Jane, you can get this download from our blog at RadicalRust.com. Look under show posts for Toker Tunes. You can find them all there. When we come back, Dr. Mitch Earlywine on the line taking your live calls on our cannabis Q&A. Stick around. It's the Russ Belville Show.
When I was in England, I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it. And never tried it again.
I think you'd probably be a lot cooler if you had, Mr. President.
I said, hey, do you have a joint can? Sure would be a lot cooler if you did. Lie to don't hide it.
Lie to don't hide it.
Oh, lie to don't hide it.
Lie to don't hide it.
Just lie to don't hide it. Fire it up right now.
It's time for the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and a leading author and researcher on cannabinoids and health, who pins the Ask Dr. Mitch column for High Times magazine. Get your questions ready in our live chat or call in to 971-533-7111 now.
All right, folks, half past the hour. Just like we always do here at the bottom of the hour on Wednesdays, we bring in Dr. Mitch Earlywine to talk about cannabis science. Dr. Mitch, welcome back. Oh, got to hit the mute button. Let's try that again. Welcome back, Dr. Mitch. Oh, goodness. We're having some problems with the connection here, apparently. Let's see what I can do on this end. Maybe we can get Dr. Mitch on the line again. Are you able to hear me, Dr. Mitch? Okay, we're going to have to... see what we can do to get that connection taken care of. In the meantime, we'll let some giant panda gorilla dub squad take care of that. Be right back. That's Giant Panda Gorilla Dub Squad. Let's see if we've got Dr. Mitch there. Are you there, Dr. Mitch? All right. Looks like we got the connection now. Are you there, Dr. Mitch? Yes, we've got you. Hold on. Let me bring down the music. Make the giant pandas go away. Sorry about that connection problem there. Glad to have you here.
Oh, always a pleasure.
Okay, so as we start off this segment, we always like to find out what's the latest news in polling or health or scientific research on marijuana or medical marijuana, anything like that. What's the latest, Dr. Mitch?
So we're going to see an article come out in December in Addictive Behaviors about parent-child communication and early marijuana use. And I want to see if the media grabs onto this because it implies that parents talking to children about marijuana is no help. Hmm. Obviously, we all know that's not the case. And when you look closely at the data, one of the best predictors of marijuana initiation, in fact, is if the kids don't like spending time with their parents. So I really want to support one of the points I made in the Parents Guide to Marijuana, and that's if you have a good relationship with your kids, they're markedly less likely to run into marijuana problems later in life.
All right. We have questions coming in already from our chat room, and I just want to let folks know you can get your question in to our live chat room through RadicalRust.com. You have to sign up with an account on Ustream, and once you do, type /login to get logged into the chat, or you can call us live at 971-533-7111. And our first question comes in from Runaround, who wants to know, what do you think about the article in today's San Francisco Chronicle about CBD, cannabidiol, helping to cure cancer?
So I literally just got home and didn't see the article itself. Someone sent me a link, and the idea that CBD would help cure cancer is consistent with a lot of the laboratory work we've seen so far, basically in tumor cell growth and things like that. So this is not a stunning surprise. And in fact, we know that a number of cannabinoids can essentially improve the antioxidant process in the body. So I'm delighted that this is getting so much news, but can't pretend like this is a big startler.
Yeah, okay. So San Francisco Chronicle today, the folks in our chat room, I just turned the links mode on. So if you want to put that website up with the San Francisco Chronicle link, go right ahead because you can do that now. We just did a story before we went to the musical break, Dr. Mitch, that was out of King 5 News. And they're covering this I-502 initiative with the Per Se DUID. And it features a 17-year-old multiple sclerosis patient who admits to using a 200-milligram hash lollipop 5 hours before driving. And her complaint is that under I-502, she'd never be able to drive because they have a zero tolerance for anyone who's under the age of 21. How zero tolerant are these zero tolerant laws? And does it mean that someone under the age of 21 is never going to be able to drive?
Well, so it really is a question more of enforcement than the way the law is written. I'm, you know, sorry that we're not focusing more on behavioral measures when it comes to the capacity to drive on this one. And at least technically, she is under that sort of setting, the way I understand the way the law is written, at least. Nevertheless, I think that the way this law is enforced is going to be a big part of the question, and I think leaving that in the hands of law enforcement and at their discretion, we are essentially putting a little bit of faith in the folks who are out there protecting our roads in this way. I do feel like 502 would still be a step in the right direction. I'm sorry things aren't more perfect.
Yeah, and you know, when it comes to these driving impairment standards, one of the things I get to thinking about is, of course, we're always talking with respect to alcohol, cannabis, illicit drugs, and even some talk of prescription drug use and driving impairment. But I'm wondering, are there any studies, is there any data out there to show us what the risk of a crash is, a risk of from impairment, compared to other typical things people do in a car, like changing the car radio station or trying to find something on their iPod or eating a cheeseburger or smacking their kids in the back seat? I mean, how impaired is impaired, and what levels should we be able to live with?
Well, so two of the most salient ones, as far as the literature I've looked at recently, one involves 50 milligrams of Benadryl, which is a pretty standard dosage for most folks as antihistamine, which we're finding as impairing or more, actually, than small doses of cannabis that Anthony Liguori investigated. And then talking on the cell phone, which is actually comparable also to around the 2 beer range in alcohol. So, I mean, clearly the notion that people do drive under weird circumstances is certainly out there. Obviously, I'd rather see folks only drive when they're going to be safe, and I'm hoping that, turn to behavioral measures would be the way to go on this. But to single out cannabis on this when we happen to know that Benadryl, prescription opiates, and even listening to the radio too loud can be problematic is, I don't know how else to describe it. It's just kind of oddly unfair.
Yeah, it always seems to me like it's a solution in search of a problem. I have yet to see that we've got massive, pileups on the freeways because of marijuana drivers. But this seems to be something that is driving poll results and driving a lot of the political thinking with regard to marijuana legalization. What can we do politically speaking? I mean, I see part of the problem is this, is that we've kind of accepted as a society this idea that body chemistry determines impairment with respect to alcohol, which is actually more true. But given that the public doesn't get into those distinctions, how are we going to convince them that, yeah, blood alcohol, that's a problem, but blood THC isn't a big deal?
I think part of it is educating folks about how this works. And I think in the comparisons to alcohol, we're used to saying, oh, okay, a blood level means X and means impairment. I think people are going to be capable of grabbing onto the idea that really roadside sobriety is just another measure of sobriety. We want that. We don't want chemicals. We don't want blood. We don't want urine. We want to know, can you walk a straight line? Can you follow my finger with your eyes? Can you essentially do motor skills that are consistent with driving a car? Then that translates into being able to drive a car much more readily than some crazy amount of nanograms or some milliliters per deciliter of humma.
Yeah. You know, there was a point in the I-502 debate that I filmed up in Seattle at the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup where one of the No on I-502 spokespeople, Douglas Hyatt, was mentioning how the drugged driving initiative is something that's a big thing with the Office of National Drug Control Policy, trying to pass these sort of per se laws. And he intoned and warned us all that the next thing that they passed a law in Washington, that the cops will be able to take your blood right there on the roadside, and saliva swabs are coming next for our cheeks that the cops will give us. What is the state of that roadside technology if they're trying to get our chemistry?
I'm afraid it's a little haunting, Russ. I talked to the guy who originally developed the breathalyzer, and he's quite an old guy now, and he was already one step ahead back then with something that could assess alcohol concentration in tears. So it's clearly something that people think has a lot of money, and so they are many steps ahead of us in ways that I found almost like something right out of science fiction.
Yeah, so mouth swabs. I like the idea of testing alcohol by someone's tears. How do they get the driver to cry? Maybe they carry a DVD copy of Old Yeller with them. I don't know. Something makes that happen. All right, we're taking your questions in our live chat room here and also on the phone at 971-533-7111. If you've got any questions, let them be known now. You can remain anonymous if you choose. And if you don't want to ask your question or have it heard here on the air, you can always send a question privately. You can send a question by email to Dr. Mitch at 420research@gmail.com, 420research@gmail.com. Now, another story, Dr. Mitch, and I want to get your take on this. It comes out of Montana, where we revealed a police investigation that's going on. Four adults got arrested for felonies, and the basic gist of the story is that their daughter had medical marijuana infused lollipops or candies or something, and was distributing them on the school bus. Obviously, something that's not going to do any favors for their campaign to defeat the repeal light medical marijuana laws they've got. But with respect to medical marijuana, children, and that fear that we always get hit with in the press, I'm just wondering what we can do to lessen that. And I guess it's not really a scientific question, but it's more of a public relations question. When things like this pop up, what are we going to do to beat back the backlash against medical marijuana?
So I feel like the clincher here is twofold. In truth, none of these children is really going to be in terrible trouble. I mean, we've actually seen how resilient children are in the emergency room when they've been flipped hallucinogens by accident. Kids are resilient. Nevertheless, we cannot tolerate this kind of thing. It absolutely cannot happen. And I don't feel like these people need to be penalized in a horrible way, but they need to understand that this is not something that children should have access to for this very reason. The entire nation has suffered because of this single event, and I think they must know that, but they need to come forward and say, I've made a terrible mistake, and here's what we're going to do from here on out. We certainly don't leave access for other medications in the same way, particularly those that seem to mimic things that kids are accustomed to. So we absolutely have to keep this kind of stuff under lock and key when they're children in the house.
All right. We have a question from our chat room. John Thomas wants to know, is there any research on marijuana having preventative health benefits like vitamins?
There's tons of stuff that are consistent with that idea, but longitudinal studies in humans, of course, haven't been funded, and so we just don't know. Every time I run into some folks who look 20 years younger than they really are at various conferences, I certainly am curious about these antioxidant effects of the cannabinoids and how they might keep folks looking younger. And in truth, the antioxidant effects are consistent with a whole lot of other models of aging and senescence and basically the development of dementias, but we don't have the data in humans just yet.
Yeah, I have to agree with you on that antioxidant effect. I'm 74 years old, and most people say I look like I'm in my 40s. So, but no, there's a point there. I mean, I guess maybe one of the things I would point out is when I played in bars for a long, long time, and I would see those drunks that would be there puffing away on cigarettes and passing out of their bar stool by 3:30 in the afternoon, and they were always invariably 10 to 20 years younger than younger than I thought they were, right? Because they looked so old, all withered and leathered out from the cigarette smoke and deteriorated from the alcohol. So is it a case where marijuana might be, you know, providing some sort of anti-aging benefit as compared to people who don't smoke at all? Or is it just that we're better off than the smokers and drinkers?
I mean, it's clearly the folks who stay away from alcohol and cigarettes at high doses do markedly better. But some of the data, at least at the cellular level, we're just talking petri dishes right now, is consistent with some of the same evidence we have for things like eating a lot of curry, making sure you have enough vitamin E, sticking to fruits and vegetables, all that kind of stuff, which we know seems to help. I mean, let's be honest, LV doesn't look her age,
yeah.
Right? I mean, a whole bunch of the folks we know who are over 70, who look like they're in the 50s, I got to look and wonder.
Yeah, absolutely. And, my last interview with Dr. Lester Grinspoon, he's in his mid-80s. He's as spry and sharp as ever. So, you know, all the anecdotal evidence I can amass tells me that there's something good to this. One last question, Dr. Mitch, and we'll let you go. We reported last week on the cannabidiol, CBDV, being investigated by GW Pharmaceuticals, possibly for human trials coming up soon to treat epilepsy. Are there any other trials of medicalized or pharmaceuticalized marijuana that you know of that are in the pipeline right now?
So there are a couple that have to do with spinal cord injury and some things that have to do with muscle spasm in folks with MS, but I honestly don't know if they're going to get off the ground or not.
Okay. Well, that's all the time we have today for our Cannabis Q&A segment with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. But if you missed your chance to get your question answered, join us every Wednesday here at the bottom of the hour. And the replays are coming up 3 hours from now. So if you missed anything, it'll be available every 3 hours. Dr. Mitch, thanks for joining us. And we'll see you in the pages of the High Times and in all your great books.
Have a great day.
You're tuned. into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Have you considered medical marijuana? Double-blind, peer-reviewed studies have found cannabinoid therapies to be successful in treating the symptoms of Alzheimer's disease, ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease, brain cancers, chronic pain, diabetes mellitus, dystonia, fibromyalgia, GI disorders, hepatitis C, HIV/AIDS, hypertension, incontinence, MRSA, multiple sclerosis, osteoporosis, pruritus, rheumatoid arthritis, sleep apnea, and Tourette's syndrome, as well as anecdotal evidence suggesting relief from anxiety, depression, and post-traumatic stress, plus reduction in the need for narcotic painkillers. Side effects of medical marijuana can include euphoria, relaxation, anxiety, panic reactions, paranoia, tachycardia, dry eyes, dry mouth, concentration and reaction time impairment, appetite increase, and in 37 states, arrest and incarceration. But medical marijuana is non-toxic and cannot cause overdose. Medical marijuana. It's not for everyone, but ask your doctor if medical marijuana may be right for you.
That there was one question that was voted on that ranked fairly high, and that was whether legalizing marijuana would improve the economy and job creation. And I don't know what this says about the online audience, but...
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Hoo-ah! Radical rant.
Turn the mic on, that helps. Welcome back, everybody, and time for the Radical Rant. And today I want to tell you about medical marijuana's worst enemies. Primarily, that would be medical marijuana. Yes, medical marijuana is its own worst enemy these days, and from state to state and story to story, everywhere I go, it seems as though people who are involved in medical marijuana just can't help themselves. You give it an inch, they'll take a mile. And here's some of the latest stories. In the headlines today, I told of the Los Angeles medical marijuana dispensary ban. And hidden in that story is a little gem of a quote from Robert McCown, who's a professor at the School of Law for the University of California, Berkeley. All right, so we're talking about a law professor at Berkeley. Right. We're not picking George Will here. We're not picking Gil Kerlikowske. A law professor at Berkeley suggests to the Christian Science Monitor that the dispensaries themselves share part of the blame for the Los Angeles ban. They, quote, are far too flagrant in their willingness to dispense the drug for seemingly trivial conditions. And that's what's undermining the credibility of the medical marijuana system, end quote. And in the Christian Science Monitor story, some of our folks, reformers, I don't remember if it was Morgan Fox or someone else, but somebody points out how popular medical marijuana is with Californians. How dare you shut down these dispensaries? How awful, because it's so popular, so popular with Californians. But the problem is that what we think when we hear the words medical marijuana and what other people think when they hear the words medical marijuana when asked by a pollster, are two completely different things. The poll they're referring to is Californians with 80% support. That's 80. 4 out of 5 Californians in a recent poll by USC conducted by Greenberg Research found 80% of Californians support medical marijuana. But the poll question doesn't ask them if they support medical marijuana. The poll question asks them if they support, quote, allowing patients with terminal or debilitating conditions to possess and consume marijuana if their doctors recommend it, end quote. I do not believe that translates into 4 out of 5 support for the people I was hanging out with at the Los Angeles High Times Medical Cannabis Cup who did not seem terminal to me or very debilitated. Now, again, I don't care. I don't think anybody should have to have the permission from a king, court, cleric, or clinician to use marijuana if they want to. I don't care. But if you really are that person who's saying, yes, we got to stand up for the patients. We got to stand up for the patients. We got to help the patients. Can you stop for a minute and think of the patients in Missouri? Can you stop for a minute and think of the patients in Kentucky? Patients in Indiana? Maybe Ohio or South Carolina, who can't get medical marijuana passed, even a super strict, ultra-conservative medical marijuana law talked about, because as soon as any legislator brings it up, one of his buddies in the Congress there or the Assembly just brings up a video and says, "Hey, yeah, the guy in the green bear suit offering $75 to get you high as you want to get." You like it, you love it, you want to smoke more of it, that kind of medical. Now, it's a tough, you know, position for me to be in because I love these events and I love this community and I love the smoking of pot by people and enjoying that and celebrating that, and experiencing their First Amendment rights to gather and have free speech and petition their government. Big fan of all of it, but I'm a legalizer. When I go to that event, I'm going to a legalization event. I'm going to an event that I make no bones about it being about partying, having fun, celebrating, etc. Make no bones about it, right? So you got to understand that when the polls, and we have to understand as reformers that when the polls say 80% of people support medical marijuana, that's their medical marijuana that they support. That's their concept of medical marijuana they support. A CBS News poll that was taken found that there was nationwide major support for medical marijuana as well, but that there's a big number, I think it's 32% thought it was being used for, quote, other reasons, right? So even the public knows that there's medical marijuana and there's medical marijuana, right? They know that there are severely disabled, terminally ill, really sick people that need medical marijuana. And there's other people that have arrest anxiety syndrome and are protecting themselves. And again, I don't care. I would do it. Absolutely. I do it. Why not? Why wouldn't you avail yourself of a way of keeping your ass out of jail? Especially if you believe it should be completely legal anyway. Yeah, put up a hoop. I'll jump through it. I don't care. And the other part about this, it gets frustrating. You look at the same poll that they took, UC Berkeley, or this USC poll. The same USC poll that got 80% support for legalization for patients with terminal or debilitating conditions, right? 80% support for that medical use also only shows 46% support for marijuana legalization in general. So they support the terminally and debilitated patients. But when you just start talking about healthy people or people who are not terminal or debilitated, now it's dropping back down to 46, which is roughly the same 46.5% support that Prop 19 got in 2010. So at what point do we look at this and recognize that some of the stuff that's going on in medical marijuana is not just harmful to legalization, but harmful to medical marijuana? The story we just did from Montana, where a medical marijuana provider is giving out candy to his kid, to take on the school bus for distribution. And this is happening a month or two before they vote on whether or not to keep the new medical marijuana restrictions. And when I bring this stuff up, sometimes there are those people in the community that will rail against it Oh, those assholes. Oh, how could they wait this long? They could have had, they had a whole 18 months. They could have busted this guy, but they waited till right before the election, or they waited till right before harvest. Yeah. Yeah, that's what they do. That's exactly what they're going to do. That's the world we live in. If you know you live in a world where cops are waiting for the very most opportune moment, where our opponents are waiting for the lowest hanging fruit to take us down, if you live in a world filled with assholes and bullshit, why keep bragging about how big your outhouse is? Right? Do something to protect yourself and to help others by being a little more discreet, a little more honest about this stuff, or go all the way like I do and just say, oh, it ought to be legal. It ought to be legal for everyone. What we're doing right now, yeah, we're jumping through hoops, but you know what? It just should be legal for everyone. It gets very frustrating when I have to go to states like, you know, next weekend, I'm going back to Idaho, and I'll be working with Lindsay Reinhart there, who's a multiple sclerosis patient, much like, I think it's MS, but much like the girl in the King 5 video. But she doesn't get arrest protection. She doesn't get to have a pound and a half and have a reasonable affirmative defense in court. She's in Idaho. She's in Idaho asking me tough questions about what are we going to have to do to get medical marijuana passed in Idaho. And I'm having to counsel her on putting forth something really, really strict and really, really conservative to have to fight against all of the headlines and all of the news that comes from the west of them that paints medical marijuana as shenanigans. And, you know, that's why it's so critical of us on the West Coast in Washington, Oregon, and Colorado, and hopefully soon California, to pass legalization. This is why I get so incensed and so frustrated at the No on I-502 crowd and the Stoners Against Legalization and the whoever's going on in Colorado against Amendment 64. Because time's running out, people. You want your medical marijuana, it's coming. 2013, folks, human trials for various cannabinoid pharmaceuticals in development by GW Pharmaceuticals and others. 2013, 2014, 2015, 3 years of trials and development and getting those cannabinoid pharmaceuticals to market before we hit 2016, the next presidential election and the next realistic chance to legalize in one of these states. And then when the cannabinoid pharmaceuticals are out and they've removed cannabinoid pharmaceuticals down to Schedule 3, they'll turn to all you medical marijuana patients and say, hey, you wanted your medical marijuana, here's your medical marijuana. Now, all you people with plants and buds and hash oil, you're just criminal dopers committing felonies, and it's off to jail with you. Hey, that's all the time we got here for Wiz Calico and Brian the Red. I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers. And stay tuned for Hour 2 Toker Talk Radio. Coming up next, we'll take your calls at 971-533-7111.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. Take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.